Seated. Well, it sure is good to see everyone here this morning. Folks, did you come ready for the Word of God? Oh, I'm going to have to, you know, keep stirring you up. Folks, you know, of course, traditionally, you know, the Sunday after Thanksgiving has a way of being one of the more slower Sundays. How many of you got loaded up on turkey and other things this week? I had a double portion. We had a Thanksgiving get-together, of course, on Thursday, and then a whole nother one on Friday, and I have to confess, with some leftovers in between. Does anybody have some leftovers in their refrigerator right now? Oh, yeah, we got plenty of it. Right, but folks, how many of you know, just because we might have a little extra calorie intake this week, you know, that doesn't mean we come into church all slow, right? Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody. We welcome you to Family Church. You know, I know we have several of our families that are traveling this weekend, but it looks like we have a lot of visitors that have come right in and filled the place up. And so we welcome you. We're just so glad to have you. We know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. We want to get you connected with the Word of God. Amen. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. My wife and I, we're just so glad to see you. Pastor Brad's our associate pastor. We want to just see you get connected to God's highest and best. And church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting here today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And just a quick reminder, hey guys, we got this Friday night coming up. It is men's night at the Youth Center there at 6:30 p.m. this coming Friday, which is December 1st. Isn't it amazing that we're already, you know, coming up on December? Guys, go ahead, get signed up out at our reception counter if you haven't done so already. If you're bringing friends, make sure they're getting signed up. We're going to have lots of food, you know, a pork roast, clam bake, and maybe some other things in between there. All right, so guys, you know, we're so excited. It looks like as of right now, between the Jamestown and the Erie Church, we have about 100 men signed up. Oh, guys, we're very close to eclipsing what the ladies did on See, everyone thought that those women were the more spiritual ones. But we guys, we're spiritual. We eat pork and clams. Praise the Lord. I gotta confess, I probably will leave some of the clams up to the rest of you fellas. Not exactly a bivalve eater. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Folks, did you come ready for the Word of God here today? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4. And this morning, I'm going to call this message the key to a powerful faith. The key to a powerful faith. Over the last several weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages on faith and what faith is, what faith does, what faith believes. And we started over there in Galatians chapter 3. And if you weren't here, that's all right. We're going to get you caught up on a little bit of a review. But we went over there to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. And it says, they that are of faith, the same are blessed with faithful Abraham. Do we have anyone here today that's of faith? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if that's you, the Bible says that you are what?
Blessed.
Oh, let's try that again. You are what? Blessed. And we ask this question, how blessed are you? You know, we looked at the is there restrictions on the blessing of God? No, there's no restrictions on the blessing of God. You are not 51% blessed. You're not 80% blessed. You're not 99% blessed. You are 100% blessed by God. And that is regardless of the circumstances you're facing. You might be going through a hardship. You might be facing a trial. Maybe you're down to your last penny. Guess what God still says you are? You're blessed. You might have all the money in the world. Guess what? If you're serving God and being faithful, that is more valuable than anything you could ever own or possess. Amen? And you're blessed. And then we went on to Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a cross. The word there is tree. It's a representation of the cross. We know that when Jesus was hung on that cross for you and I, so many times Christians have maybe a simple understanding of why Jesus hung on that cross. They'll say, well, Jesus hung on that cross so I could go to heaven someday. Thank God that is true. Aren't you glad you get to go to heaven someday by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It sure does beat the alternative, right? Amen. But Jesus specifically, he was there to accomplish at least two things. And of course, we know more than that. But, you know, what Jesus went to that cross for was to take the curse off from us. Upon that cross, Jesus Christ became cursed with all the curses of sin and curses of the law of God, all the curses that come as a result of sin and disobedience. That whole curse was placed on Jesus Christ. It was lifted off from us and it was put on him. Right? Amen. That's why on the cross, Jesus cried out and he said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, the curses upon humanity came upon Jesus Christ, and God had to and decided to turn his back on his one and only begotten Son, because he turned his back on Christ so he could turn his face towards you and I. At that moment, God decided to choose Jesus over you, to choose you and I over Jesus. Think about that. Think about Jesus was perfect. He was the Son of God. But in order to redeem us, Jesus had to carry that curse. So on that cross, Jesus, you know, he lifted that curse off from us, but he also put something in place of that curse. Because Galatians 3:13 tells us that Jesus took the curse. Verse 14 tells us that the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through faith. There's that blessing again. The same blessing that God promised Abraham became yours when you became a child of God. That's why Galatians 3:29 says, and if you be Christ's, you are Abraham's seed and what? Heirs according to the promise. Every promise that God ever made Abraham belongs to you. Everything that God did for Abraham, God wants to do for you. Jesus came down from heaven to make sure that God would keep his promise and bless all the nations, because he made that promise all those years ago to Abraham. Folks, we are 0% cursed. We are 100% blessed. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? If God is for us, who can be our foe? That is Romans 8:31. And then verse 32 is where we've been camping out the last few weeks. If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with Christ freely give us all other things? That is supernatural logic for your faith right there. If he gave you Jesus, there's nothing he's going to withhold from you. Folks, please don't misunderstand that as a way of saying that everything in life is always going to feel good. Or don't think that challenges won't come. We know that they do. But when we face this life, whether things are going great or things are adverse and tough, we got to remember, he spared not his own son. God gave us all things. Just like God gave the promised land to the Israelites back there. Remember we looked last week into Numbers 13? God said, I give you this land. He expected the Israelites to say, all right, if you gave it to us, it's ours now. But remember, they didn't do that, except a couple of them. Remember this? Last week? Amen. So in the same way, when God says he's provided all things for you, he expects you to believe that you have all things right now. Right now. Because that's where he gave it to you. Where did God decide not to spare Jesus? On the cross. Where did God give you all other things? On the cross, sealed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how long have you had all things? For 2,000 years. And unless you're older than that, that means that you have had all things the whole time. Yeah. Folks, God expects us to believe that the answers are already provided. So many times we think in this mindset like, oh, I hope God does something. You know, hopefully he'll you know, do something on my behalf, or he'll fulfill a promise. The Bible says all the promises of God are already yes and amen in Christ. The Bible says that the works are now finished since the foundations of the earth. Think about it. Folks, God expects you right now to look to him and say, Father, you spared not your own son. Therefore, you've provided everything else that I need in this life. Folks, that's the basis and the foundation of what we believe. Amen. Glory to God. Now, today, we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to take one step into a deeper life with the Lord, one step into a deeper life of faith, all right? And we're going to talk about the key to a powerful faith. Amen. This is the first step into truly living a spiritual life with the Lord, all right? Now, folks, bear with me. I know this is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we know that, you know, we've had a lot of calories moving through the system. You know, it has a temptation to get us, you know, a little slower. But, folks, you don't want to miss this. This, what we're going to talk about today, is the difference between life and death. It is the difference between power and weakness. It is the difference between victory or defeat, all right, joy or destruction. Folks, listen to this. This is the first step of what truly makes a Christian effective. All right, so you're going to need to, you really, you know, I'm a former elementary school, you know, teacher. Put your thinking caps on. No, actually, I didn't say those cheesy kind of things even when I was a school teacher. Praise the Lord. But of course, we're familiar with it. Now go to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at verse 12. We're going to start in the King James, and then I'm going to go to the Amplified that just kind of brings it out a little bit more. Let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 12. Now today I have my Amplified and King James parallel Bible with me. And in order for two Bibles to be in one, they had to make the print real small. And so you all know what's coming, all right? This service is brought to you by Spectrum Eye Care, right? Praise the Lord. I got to take out my readers. Glory to God. You know, this senior moment brought to you by, praise God. People say, well, Pastor, aren't your eyes healthy? You know, yeah, my eyes are perfectly healthy. I'm just going through a case of the 45s. Just dealing with a case of the 45s. That's what I'll be 45 in a few weeks. Praise the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now it says, for the word of God is quick. The word of God is quick. What does that word quick mean, everybody? Oh my goodness, we got to come alive here this morning. The word of God is what? Alive. That's what that word quick means. And it says it's alive. God's word is powerful. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Go over to the Amplified version, and if you don't have an Amplified Bible, look up here. It'll just help you. Praise the Lord. The Amplified renders it this way. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and the purposes of our heart. Wow, that's a way to render a verse right there. So where is the word of God working in you right now on the inside? The word of God is alive and powerful, and it's supposed to be working on the inside. Amen. Now, here's what we've got to really take a look at here. Because, folks, when we think of the word of God, so often we think of a book. We think of the word. We think of the word of God. We think of the Bible. We think of pages. We think of words on the page. We think of chapters and verses. But, folks, I'm here to tell you today, and you're going to see this in the word. We've already started looking at this. Folks, if we think that God's word is only a written product only, then we are deeply gonna miss what God wants to do in our life. We're gonna miss an opportunity to truly know him, to truly understand him, to truly walk in a deep-rooted faith. Folks, we know that the Bible is not only something that is written, all right? Of course, we know it is written for us, thank God, all right? But we think about the Bible, if we think about God's word, we think that it is only something that is read. We think of the word as if it's the book. And if we're not careful, if we think of it just as a book, we'll start to look at it like it's a homework assignment. We'll start to look at it as something we don't find interesting to read. Folks, we've got to remember the word of God is not a written word only. All right, it is a living word. And there is a big difference. Folks, you're gonna wanna get a hold of this here today. You know, some people might even go, beyond just reading the scriptures. Maybe we take some extra time and we start memorizing some verses. Folks, is it good to read your Bible? Yes. Is it good to memorize scripture? Yes. But if we think that that is the ultimate dynamic of God's word, we're missing it. And today I'm going to talk to you about three dynamics of the word that you must know and understand, all right? The written aspect of God's word is not the most important aspect of God's word. It is one of the most important aspects. But folks, if you're looking at God's word as a book, or as chapters or verses, even if you're one of those radical Christians that go ahead and start memorizing verses, I'm here to tell you, if that's the limit that you're gonna put on God's word, God is gonna be very limited in your life. There are three dynamics of the word of God. Are you ready? And yes, these are in the order of importance. Number one, the greatest dynamic of God's word is that it's living. The number one dynamic of God's word is that it is a living thing. God's word is alive. Amen. We're gonna go even further in this here today. If you think that, you know, the scripture is just a book, just chapters, just verses, just something you memorize, just something you read, folks, then you've got a shallow understanding. And what I mean is that we all, if we're not careful, we're tempted to just look at God's word like it's a book. It's more than a book, folks. Number one dynamic of the word of God is that it's a living thing. Two, the second most important dynamic of the word of God, it's a spoken thing. It's a spoken thing. So it's a living thing, it's a spoken thing, and then thirdly, it is a written thing. All right. God's word is living. God's word is spoken. God's word is written. All right. Praise the Lord. Folks, I have been told many times over the years, I've heard people say this to me, I'm just not into the God thing as much as you are. You ever heard that before? I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm just not into the whole God thing as much as you are. Anyone ever heard that before? Folks, you know, have you ever known a believer, someone who's highly engaged in their faith? Have you ever known somebody that's, you know, just really sincere? They're highly attentive when they hear the word. You know, they love to worship. They're really into worship. You know, they even, you know, they close their eyes. They'll even tell you, you know, I sense the presence of the Lord here. They pick up on God's presence. Have you ever known someone like that? I believe there's many of you in here that are just like that here today, right? Praise the Lord. And people say, well, they're just really into it. You know, they're just really eager for God's word. They're really eager about God's spirit. There's a reason why they're that way, all right, most times. And I got sniped. You ever get sniped all of a sudden? Your voice goes from like perfectly moisturized to the Sahara Desert in like 1 second. I call it, it's like the dry sniper. And all of a sudden your voice goes, it just screeches to a halt. That's what just happened there. And I know sometimes people think, oh my goodness, he's getting ready to cry. No, I'm getting ready to take a drink of water is what I'm doing. Praise the Lord. You know, but sometimes we think, well, people that are like that, you know, they sense the Spirit of God. They're really into it. They're just with their whole heart. They're eager for the Spirit, eager for the Word. They're just a little weird. No, folks, they're not weird at all. They're not weird at all. This is where God wants us to get to. All right, doesn't mean you have to act like everybody else. But the reason why they're like that is because the Word is alive to them. They're eager for the Word because it's alive to them. It's not just a book. It's not just pages. It's not just chapters and verses. It's not a homework assignment to them. It's alive to them. It's life to them. It's joy to them. It's power to them. It's strength to them. It's health and it's medicine to them. Amen. It's God's presence to them. Amen. The Word is alive to them. Folks, this is why there are plenty of believers who spend a ton of time reading the Bible, but they themselves never walk in victory. They never walk in joy. You can read the Bible cover to cover and still not know God. You can read the Bible cover to cover and still be legalistic. You can still be critical in your thinking. You can be a complainer. Just because you read the Bible doesn't mean you have a real powerful faith. You got to understand all the dynamics of the Word of God. The Word of God is a living thing. It is a spoken thing. And yes, thirdly, it is a written thing. All right. Amen. People can spend a lot of time in their Bible, but they still live a defeated life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God is not handing out participation trophies because you read the Bible. If you just think that the Bible is just something you read, we've missed it. God doesn't say, here you go, way to go, you read enough, therefore I love you. Oh, you read enough chapters, so I'll do something good for your life. You know, that's like saying, well, you know, I can win a NASCAR race because I've put gas in my fuel tank before. No, gas in the fuel tank is just one element that's required to be in a race. Just like reading the Bible doesn't get you credit. Reading the Bible is just something that it is required. It's included. It's just part of the process. But the reading of it itself does not add any power to you if you don't believe that it's a living thing, if you don't believe it's a spoken thing beyond just a written thing. Amen. Think about this. It's like, you know, when a child or a young person, you know, I know this, I have, you know, two teenage sons. We all used to think like this at some point. You know, you see maybe a bodybuilder, all right? A guy that spends a ton of time in the gym, just like me. You know, always there. If you're wondering where all these muscles came from, well, now you'll know. I'm being very, you're trying not to laugh, but I'm making fun of myself. Anyway, praise the Lord, all right? I don't spend much time lifting weights, though I have been with my sons a little bit, but I don't lift a whole lot of weights because they're just too heavy, right? Praise the Lord. All right, but when you see a bodybuilder, a lot of times when we were young, you see a guy with huge muscles, and the first thing you think about when you're a young person, you think, oh my goodness, what if you had to fight a guy like that? Or you know, my boys will see somebody, big muscle, be like, who do you think would win in a fight? Look at that guy. Dad, what would you do if a guy like that attacked you? What would you do with a guy with all those muscles? I'm thinking, what are you saying here? But Dad, what if you guy, I tell, what would you do if you had to defend yourself against a guy like that? I tell him, it's simple. I'd shoot him. Don't bring muscles to a gunfight. You can have all the muscles in the world, it ain't gonna stop a 45. That's what I tell him. I say, guys, that's the reason why I pack. Anyway, praise the Lord. I don't go to the gym. Oh, anyhow, praise the Lord. But they, you know, we think all those muscles, but we know this to be true. You can have all the muscles in the world, doesn't mean you can fight. Take the biggest bodybuilder in the world, take the world's strongest man, put him up to a Navy SEAL, and let's see who wins. The Navy SEAL's gonna be in shape, all right? He might be really, you know, he could be somewhat muscular and everything, but how many of you know when the Navy SEALs train, they don't just throw him in a weight room? They don't just say, okay, look, you've got enough muscles, time to send you into the special forces. They don't. They throw them out there on the beach in the cold water of the Pacific Ocean. They carry logs and rafts, and they don't sleep for a week. You know, they go without sleep, they go without food, they got to do push-ups. Yeah, there's a lot of physical activity, but they train them in underwater demolition. They train them in special tactics. You can take a guy, you know, who's the biggest muscle head in the world, you could take the biggest muscles in the world and put them against a Navy SEAL who might not have as big of muscles, but what's going to happen is that SEAL's going to take him down, right? Folks, in the same way, just because we've gone through the mental reps of reading the Bible, just because we've gone through the mental reps of memorizing scripture, it doesn't mean you know how to fight. Amen. There's a lot of Christians, they know how to read the Bible, but they don't know how to handle the devil. They know how to read the Bible, but they have no idea how to stand to temptation. They have no idea how to use their authority. They have no idea how to lay hands on the sick or to cast a demon out. Folks, just because you read the Bible, you might have a lot of Bible muscles because you memorize scripture, but that doesn't mean you have the spiritual muscle or the know-how, right? In the same way, when Christians just think the Bible's something to read, you might be that bodybuilder, but you're being thrown into the special forces. And if you threw a bodybuilder into special forces, look at this. Speaking of special forces, he's down. Oh, oh, he's getting away. Get him. There was a hornet just landed on my pulpit. Folks, I love you so much, I will defend you to the uttermost. You know those poor, that poor little critter, he just wanted to get inside where it's warm like we all have it, right? Someone's gonna send me a letter. I can't believe you did that. Folks, can we just talk real for a second? Do you know if I just try to act real professional and ignore that little bugger there, and then he flies out into you, right? All of a sudden people, you know, all of a sudden everyone starts diving and ducking and everything. Folks, I just risked my life for you. The least you could do is have a little gratitude. Folks, is it okay to have fun in church here today? Yeah, amen. But getting back to the regularly scheduled programming here, folks, just because we have a lot of mental reps in the word, which is important, it's important, but it doesn't mean that we know how to truly handle spiritual things. Folks, there's a lot of Christians that do a lot of reading, but they don't know how to receive from God. They do a lot of reading, but they don't know how to have an active faith that pulls, you know, God's promises from his realm into our realm. Folks, this is what we've got to learn. You know, it's just like that. That Navy SEAL, he knows he has to train because he's going to be put into a situation where an enemy is going to come against him. He's got to have some physical fitness, but he knows that muscles aren't going to be everything in that fight. He's got to know something. He's got to know how to handle something. He knows that maybe, you know, some physical fitness is just something that's required along the way, just like reading is required along the way. But folks, we need to learn how to accomplish our mission. We need to know how to handle the enemy. We need to have more than just mental reps with the word of God. Go with me to John chapter 1, and let's start talking about the living word of God. Are you here today?
Yes.
Folks, you want to take your walk with the Lord one step deeper?
Yes.
Yeah. One step further? Here you go. If you're wondering, if you're struggling to stay interested in God, here's the answer. I would struggle staying interested in God too if I thought the Bible was just something I read. I'm gonna say something that's gonna shock you. Are you ready for this? Oh, I gotta watch out how I say this. Folks, if it was just reading the Bible only, I wouldn't do it. Because naturally speaking, none of our flesh is interested in reading the Bible. See, people lose interest in God's word because it just remains a book in their mind. It never becomes alive in their spirit. When the book is a living thing, you're interested in it. But if you look at it as homework, as a drudge, a responsibility, you're gonna see right here in the word of God, the word is not a book at all. Look at this. Go over there. You know, we can go over to the Amplified, and of course you can follow along on the screen if you need to. Go to John chapter 1, verse 1 in the Amplified. Now, we're very familiar with these verses in the King James, but I love how the Amplified brings it out. And I've got to go back. Going back to the glasses. In the beginning, before all time, or you could say it this way, in the eternal past. In the eternal past, before there was any natural creation, was the word Christ. See, there's a reason why the Amplified adds the word Christ. In the beginning was Christ the Word. The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. So now the Word of God is not a book. The Word of God is not just something that God made, right? The Word of God is God himself. Oh, here we go now. That changes the whole dynamic right there, doesn't it? The Word is not a book. The Word is not an it. The Word is God himself. Amen. The Word is alive. The Word is powerful because the Word is God himself. God just told us what the Word truly is. The Word of God is the consciousness of God's mind. The Word of God, if you could open up Jesus' brain and read words out of his mind, this is what you would come up with. It is his consciousness. This is what God thinks. If you ever wanted to look and be a mind reader, well, you can't read the minds of people, but God says, open up my mind, you can read it all you want. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. So from this point forward, when we read John 1:1, we'll never look at the Bible as a book again. We'll look at it, it's God himself. This is a consciousness. See, all of a sudden, God, you know, the word is going to come alive to you when you start realizing, oh, well, I better think differently about this word. I better, see, you know, the responsibility of reading your Bible isn't that God gave you a reading assignment as much as that he desires you to fellowship with him. I don't read the Bible. I fellowship with my Father. I don't read the scripture without talking to God at the same time. All the time I sit down as I meditate in scripture, it is me talking to the Father in reading the scripture to him. The Bible says his word does not return void unto him. That's why it's alive and why it's a powerful thing. God's word is not a book. It is a living conversation with your heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll never again see the word as a book. Yes, those with a powerful, effective faith see the word as God himself. Those that will believe, those that will have a powerful faith. See, a religious-minded person sits down to read an old book, but somebody with powerful faith sits down and fellowships with God the Father. It's a matter of how you see it. Jesus doesn't think of his word in terms of pages and chapters. He is the word. All that he does is contained in the word. Salvation is contained in the word. Healing is contained in the word. Peace is contained in the word because Jesus is all those things and more. Are you here today? The word of God is alive. Meditating in the word is like reading the mind of Jesus Christ. If you could look into the brain of the Creator, this is what you would find. You would look into the brain of the Creator and say, God wants to save me. You look into the brain of the Creator and you say, God wants to heal me. You look into the brain of the Creator and you say, God wants to provide for me abundantly. God wants my marriage to flourish. Say, well, Pastor, if God wants it all, how come it doesn't just automatically happen? Because are told in the word that we gotta lay hold of and possess what God has already given to us. And we're never gonna fully possess what God has as long as we look at the Bible as a book. It was written down for our convenience, but the word of God is not just a book, it is God himself. It is the mind of Christ. See, when I think about the word that way, I wanna get into it. Everyone wants to solve the mysteries of existence. You know, people sit down and try to contemplate the meaning of existence. Hippies smoke pot to sit down and contemplate the meaning of existence. People sit down and take, you know, illicit drugs to try to figure it out. They sit there, they try to study philosophers. Here it is the whole time. Here it is. Get in there. Spend some time with God. Amen. Meditating in the Word is like reading the mind of Christ. If you could look into his brain, this is what you would see. The Word is literally the consciousness of God. It is a consciousness of God. Before there was ever creation, before there was any earth, there was Christ the Word. Christ the Word. Everything that was made. Look at verse 2. It says, Christ was present originally. He, the Word, was present with God. It says, all things were made and came into existence through him, the Word. Without him, the Word, was not even one thing made that came into being. Everything that you and I see and touch and feel was a result of his creative ability through his spoken word. That means everything on this earth is subject to respond to words. Words of faith. Words of faith. It says in verse 4, in him, Christ the Word, was life. Meaning in the eternal past, and we know that he still is life. In Christ the Word is life, and the life is the light of men. All right? So this is what God designed for you and I, to know him and to walk in the light. Here it is. The Word is a living thing. Folks, you are never going to go any further in faith. You're never going to go into a deeper walk with God until you get out of that surface understanding of what the Word is. You are going to have to take that next step and say, wait a minute, the Bible's not a book. The Bible is God himself. It is not just words on a page. It is a living consciousness of God. No wonder why Christians lose interest in the Word. No wonder why they stop reading their Bible. No wonder why they no longer meditate in the Scripture, because they just looked at it like a homework assignment from a teacher. Who wants to do that? But I tell you what, in the heart of man is a desire to truly know their Creator, to know what the Creator is thinking today, to know what the Creator will do. And what he wants to do for you and for I. Amen. You're in chapter 1. Drop down to verse 14. Now we're going to go even further with this living word. The Word was God and is God in the eternal past, in the present, and forever. God is his Word. He doesn't just have his Word. He is his Word. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. When I even say that, I feel the hunger for God's word just stir in me in a greater way. Amen. Look at verse 14. Now it says, and the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, and incarnate. Isn't that amazing? Now we're told in John 1:14, Jesus Christ was the Word in human form. If the Word could be transformed into a human and look and walk amongst us, right? It would do, act, and think just like Jesus did. Wow. So notice the Word can dwell in human flesh. And if the Word dwelled in Jesus's human flesh, do you think the Word can dwell in our human flesh? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, what we're supposed to be is reproductions of Jesus himself. Reproductions of a living, walking, talking Word of God. Does that mean that you have all the Scriptures memorized? No. But it means that the Word is alive to you. It is alive in you. And I'm going to start describing what that means here in just a moment. So the Word, Christ, became flesh, human. Jesus is the Word incarnate in human flesh. That's what it looks like. When you look at Jesus' life and you think of his life in the light of the fact that he was the Word of God, he cast out demons everywhere he went. when the word is given full flow and full measure inside the human body, it brings salvation to the masses. It heals the brokenhearted. It feeds the 5,000. It feeds the poor. It overturns destinies for the sinner. Think of all that the word could do in the human form. Why not us? That is what God has for every believer. And yet a lot of believers are just sitting there. I'm reading. Turn the page. Oh, I read 8 chapters today. I read the Bible cover to cover. Listen, it's great to read the Bible cover to cover. I understand a lot of people, they challenge themselves. They get into programs. You can read the Bible all the way through in a year, and at the end of it, still know nothing. Because until you see it as a living thing that is going to get inside your spirit and be alive in your spirit, it's going to be ineffective for you. Oh, boy. The living word took on human form. This is why Jesus was different. He is the word in a human body, and this is what we're supposed to be. The word, notice this. The word came and lived in the material realm that you and I live in. And look what it did. Every work of the enemy was undone. The darkness was confused. The enemy, Satan, could not stop it. Healing flowed to the sick. You know, provision flowed to the poor. The remission of sins flowed to every sinner that would receive by faith. Think of what the word does. It blesses every human being that it comes in contact. Think of the potential that all of us have, how many people we could influence into the kingdom of God when the word is alive and powerful in our lives. Amen. See, you're never going to have the courage to step out and lay hands on the sick until you understand that the living word lives in you. You're never going to be bold enough to step out and cast a demon out. You're never going to be bold enough to release those words of faith until you believe that God, the word, is living on the inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because the word in human flesh dominates in this material realm. The word living on the inside of you makes you dominant in life. Would you dare say that Jesus Christ was dominant in life? Dominant. To the point where he told the storm to stop. And they said, what manner of man is this? The scripture tells us what manner of man he was. He was filled with a word. Oh, wow. You say, well, Pastor, you're just putting pie in the sky ideas out there. No, I'm trying to get you to realize God is alive and powerful in his word, and he wants to get that word on the inside of your spirit because it'll cause you to dominate everywhere you go. You will get to the point, folks, this is the goal. When the word gets in you, when it's fully, richly dwelling in you, when God is alive and active and energized in your spirit, you will never fret over anything ever again. Why in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus was in the back of the boat and it was sinking in the storm, and you know there was water that had half filled that boat and he was in the back, what was he doing? Sleeping. And remember they said, Master, don't you care that we're gonna perish and die? Remember what he said? And of course, Jesus said, why do you have such little faith? Why do you have such little faith? Because Jesus, with the word, he was the indwelt word. He knew that natural circumstances weren't going to take him down. He knew his plan. He wasn't going to die in that storm. He knew where he was going to die. He knew why he came to this earth. Folks, he was dominant over the physical realm. He dominated over sickness. He dominated over depression and fear. Why? Because the word dwelled richly within him. Boy, it sure is quiet in here today. Well, glory to God. Jesus came, he confused the darkness. All the works of the enemy were undone. He blessed the multitudes. He brought life to the brokenhearted. He healed the sick, and he overturned destinies everywhere he went. Why? Because the word was alive in him. The word was alive. Folks, if you get a hold of God's word, it becomes a living thing to you. You're going to change something. Now, go over to John chapter 6. You getting anything out of this? The word's alive. You say, Pastor, okay, you need to fill in the blanks. Go a little further. That's what we're going to do. Go over to John 6, 63. Jesus speaking. He was dealing with some of these doubters in Capernaum. And he says something very interesting in this conversation with them. Look at verse 63 in the Amplified. Jesus says this, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The Holy Spirit, he is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever." Wow, there's a lot that we could learn by that, right? "The flesh profits nothing," is what the King James says. The Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing, there is no profit in it. The words and the truths that I have been speaking to you are what? Spirit and life. So now the word, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life to you." Now, doesn't that cover the most important aspects of everything we are? When he said, "My words are spirit and life," meaning my words will do everything you need in the realm of the spirit, and my words will complete every task that you need in this natural life as well. God's word is active and powerful in the realm you can't see. It is active and powerful in this life that you can see. What does that mean? It means God's word is unlimited. It means God's word will be effective when you speak to God. God's word will be effective when you take authority over the devil. God's word will be effective when you lay hands on the sick. God's word will be effective right here in your natural life. God's word will provide for you. It'll feed you. It'll cause your business and your job to flourish and prosper. Folks, are we here today? Jesus said, "The flesh can do nothing." Jesus is saying, you're running too hard in the flesh. You're doing everything under your own strength. You're trying to just work your job, make enough money. You're doing all this stuff trying to be a good person. He said, "But my words are spirit and life." If this life has got you so busy, so distracted, so, you know, preoccupied with your work and your business, and you have no time fellowshipping in this word with the Father, he's saying you're going to struggle under your own strength. He says your flesh profits nothing. Stop just trying to get everything done in the natural way. He said you're going to have spirit and life. Folks, are you getting a hold of this? God's not telling you to go home and just read. He says take the word, which is God himself, and fellowship with him. Get these truths that the Lord is speaking, and it will accomplish everything for you spiritually and naturally. Stop trying to run in the flesh and expect God to do something for you. If you're just running, well, job, business, you know, all the stuff that we got to take care of in our life, and all of a sudden, we've had no fellowship with this. He said, "My words are spirit and life." The Bible says that God will redeem the time. God will take, say, "Well, I don't have time for God's word." No, you can't. People say, "Well, you're basically saying, I can't afford to spend my time in the word." No, you can't afford not to. I'm telling you, if you're running in your own strength, you are running a race that you cannot win. If you're running in your own strength, you're going to burn yourself out. You're going to invite something bad into your life. You've got a fellowship with the word. Hello, praise the Lord. Go over to John 14. Is it okay we take a little walk through the Gospel of John? Oh my goodness. So the word isn't just something I need to read and to study. Of course, the Bible tells us to study. We need to, you know, do that. But if we just look at it as just a written thing only, we're going to miss it. I want to sit down. I want God's life to be active in me. I want to know how he thinks. I want to see what he sees. Hallelujah. I want to be the word incarnate. I want the word to be manifested in my flesh. That's exactly what we're looking for. That's what God did in Jesus. He was just trying to make reproductions of Jesus Christ. Go to John 14, 23. Jesus speaking here again. Now we'll just go right to the Amplified. Gonna need them. Jesus, over there, John 14, 23, he said, Jesus answered, and this is what he said, "If a person really loves me, If a person really loves me, meaning some people can say they love him, but not everyone really does. Woo, boy. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, this is what he'll do. He'll keep my word. Keeping God's word is how you love him. You can tell him you love him all day long, but if you don't obey what he tells you to do, of course, beginning with the word of God, you know, if you don't obey, then you're not truly loving Christ. He says, if a person really loves me, he will obey my word. Folks, when the word is living in you, you can't help but obey it. It's in you, and we're going to talk, we're going to get more specific here. Stay with me. If someone really loves me, they obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we, the Lord Jesus and the Father, will come to him, make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place with him. How many of you want God to move in? Yeah. You want God to move in. What a roommate to have. Right? Because wherever God moves in, he's going to pay the bills, so to speak. God is not a deadbeat roommate. He's not going to come in, make his home there, and not provide the way. All right? And so it says, Jesus said, if you love me, if you obey my word, the Father will come in and make his special dwelling place with you. Doesn't that sound like God wants to make you his home? You his home? God wants to move into the inside. God wants to be the living life and the divine consciousness living on the inside of you, speaking to you. I'll tell you what, when God lives in your body, how do you think that's going to benefit your body? How can that not help but benefit all aspects of your life? But notice Jesus said, for God to move in, you've got to obey my word. For God to move in, you've got to love my word. You've got to obey my word. Think about this. God's going to make his home in us. What can't God do living on the inside of us? Nothing. That means there is unlimited greatness inside every single one of us. That means there's salvation in every single one of us. That means that there's healing in every single one of us. When God makes his home, he brings everything he is and everything he does with him. He lives in there, but not apart from his word. You cannot know him. You can be the most spiritual person. Folks, you could try to pray 14 hours a day. You could pray 23 and a half hours a day and still not know him. Say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Look at Buddhist monks. They pray more than every Christian. And they don't know God. Say, Pastor, that's wrong to say that. No, I'm telling you, without Christ, nobody knows God. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you are. That's absolutely right. So you could just sit there. You could try to be the most spiritual person. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to take this living word and fellowship with the consciousness of God. Amen. And that's why the scripture will never get boring to you. And if it does, it's because we've lost sight of what the word truly is. All right? He says, if you love me, you love my word. My Father and I, we're going to come and make a special home. And everything we are, everything we do is coming with us. Now I want a fellowship with the word. And I'm not concerned how many verses I get through. I'm not trying to read a certain amount of chapters every day. My goal is not to put away chapters. My goal is to fellowship with my Father. And see, fellowship is what's going to stick to you. Yeah, there might be some memorization in there. Yeah, reading's involved. But the time you spend with God personally is what's going to stick with you when it's founded in the word of God. Amen? You're in chapter 14. Go over to chapter 15. Ooh, boy. The word is alive. The word is God himself. The word is the mind of God. It is the consciousness of God. His words are spirit and life. Get into them. put the social media down for a little while and pick up the words of spirit and life. Put down the Facebook for a while and pick up the words of spirit and life. Turn the tube off. Get into the words that are spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. If you're running just on the strength of your own body and your mind, I'm telling you, you're going to burn out. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So many times people's lives, you know, they start to collapse and they say, you know, why, you know, we don't get it, we don't get it. Well, have you been, you know, feeding on the flow of spirit and life? And now, again, we don't say that to put blame on anybody. But folks, all of us, this is what we live on. This is what we need. People are trying to have visions. Well, I'm telling you, one moment of fellowshipping with God and his word is a higher expression of God than any vision he would ever give you. Do you know that? People are trying to seek experiences with God. 10 minutes alone with God and his word is worth all the experiences times 10 that you'll ever have in this life. I know there's people that get upset me for saying that, but God has overwhelmingly exalted his word. By everything that was created was by the word. Jesus hung on the cross and he rose again as the word. We got born again by the incorruptible seed of the word. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. There's 10 of you interested here today. Go to chapter 15. Hallelujah. See, you can have all the muscles in the world, but do you know how to fight? God wants you to find out how to live this life. Real life scenario. When the word of God is dwelling in you richly, you're not gonna, you know, fear and get all worried. I started to say earlier in the message, this is the goal with the word dwelling in you richly, that you are unmoved. Okay. Unmoved. Can you bring up a scripture? I brought this up last night. I wasn't planning to. Where is that again? Psalm 55, 22. Can you bring up Psalm 55, 22? It doesn't matter in what translation. The Amplified probably works great. You're already in there. Look at Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. What does that mean? Worry about nothing. That's right. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. Isn't that good? Yeah. Release the weight of that thing. Yeah. Release that weight. Why? Because God lives in you. That's right. Why? God can lift more than you can. Have you learned that yet? God can carry what you can't carry. He can lift more than you can lift. Say, Pastor, you don't know the burden. I can't carry the burden anymore. Well, I got good news. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. Release the weight of it. And it says that the Lord will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved. I like that. God wants us to be unmovable. Christ was unmovable. Every time the Pharisees thought of some way to try to catch him, you know, make him fall, make him fail, they couldn't. He was unmovable. When the ship was sinking and it looked like everyone was gonna die, he was unmovable. Because the word dwelling in us richly is unmovable. You never saw Jesus Christ worried about anything about himself. Not once. He was not concerned with anything. He truly was burden free. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. He says, if you'll get into my word, I won't allow you to be moved. This is what God wants. But what happens is, you know, like we looked last week with the Israelites, remember there when they looked into the land of Canaan? They saw all the giants there, and they cried all night long. Here they were crying and complaining when God had already promised them victory. Folks, God wants us to be so filled with his living word that we could see the toughest moment in our life, and we're completely immune and not moved by it. Unmoved, not worried, not concerned. Well, Pastor, you don't know the kind of storm of life I'm going through. Well, think of a storm. Think about the trees out here, all right? When a tree has deeper roots, when a tree is something more substantial, how many of you know it goes through the same storms that all the other trees go through? And it's the trees with the shallow roots, the trees that are less substantial. They're the ones that get blown over by the storm, right? Or moved by the storm more than the solid ones, right? Folks, that's exactly what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be unmovable no matter what comes our way. This is the deeper, more powerful faith. When you're walking in that living word, it is not going to move you. Your burden will be on the Lord. He'll be carrying it. Are you getting there? Are you getting something out of this? Oh, praise the Lord. I haven't gotten to my message yet. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right. The word is living. Go to John 15. Look at verse 7. Look at John 15, 7. Wow. This verse should absolutely just rock our world. Yeah. If you live in me, if you abide vitally united to me, and if my words, everyone say words.
Words.
If the words of the Lord remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it'll be done for you. Whoa, those are the words of Jesus Christ. Can you bring it up in the King James? Just so we can make it real plain for all of us here. If you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Yes. Folks, this is what being filled with the living word looks like. When we're filled with the living word, we can ask with full confidence, without one shred or iota of doubt, that it'll actually take place. We can ask and we can thank God for it, and we can move forward already believing that it is gonna show up. Because, folks, when the word fills you, there's no room for doubt in you. When the word is dwelling in you richly, there's no room to wonder if it's going to happen. Folks, God wants us to walk so closely to him that we just simply say, Father, you see my need. Father, you see what I'm going through. You see the burden that's tempting my life. I cast that burden upon you. And Father, I ask you for X, Y, and Z. And therefore, Father, because your word dwells in me mightily, therefore, I have it. Thank you, Lord. Without a shred of doubt that it's going to show up. Because when God's words dwell in you richly, God will always show up. The scripture says over there in Jeremiah 1:12 that God, the Lord, hastens to perform his word in our lives. Amen. Glory to God. Go down to verse 16. Look at John 15, 16. I'm just giving you some scriptures. Oh, I love this. It doesn't matter what. Yeah, you got the King James going there. That's fine. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I ordained you that you should go bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. God wants to give it to you. He wants to ask. He wants you to ask him. He wants to fulfill his word dwelling richly within you. Now, we're going to get ready to close right here. Are you ready? All right. Here before we close, I'm going to give you a couple aspects of living things. If the word is a living thing, then there's some things that we got to know about living things. All right? The first thing you need to know about something living is that it grows. Doesn't just nature teach us that? Anything living grows. Meaning it starts smaller and it grows larger. All right. Folks, when you get into the word and start fellowshipping with the Father, you're going to start growing. You're going to start growing. You're going to grow in the direction of stability. You're going to grow in the direction of stability. And again, the direction of stability is that you are unmovable. You are unmovable. Praise the Lord. So this is what the living word is doing in us to ensure that we grow. Again, The word, the living word in us is a living consciousness within us that we cannot ignore. Listen to this. Folks, you, those of you that are walking, you know, in that kind of living word, do you know what I mean? Where the presence of God, his word is dwelling on the inside of you and it's always there. You cannot ignore it. It's always there. I don't mean just in terms of the chapter and verses, but God's presence is always there. It's always with you. You are conscious of it. And if you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm not living a life. I'm not conscious of God's presence in me. Folks, how can the most powerful source that exists be living in here and we not know it? Folks, if we're not mindful of it, it's because something in this world has distracted us. The living word is a consciousness within us that we can't ignore. Once the living word is on the inside of you, it starts to crush your own will. Do you know what I mean by that? When God's will gets so strong in you, all of a sudden your plans, your purposes start getting crushed. Oh, have you learned that yet? God's word dwelling in you richly, all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. My plans were this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden those plans start getting pushed out and God starts showing you his plans. Folks, let me just say something bluntly. Your plans stink. My plans stink. God's plans are lovely. God's plans are beautiful. He leads us into green pastures and beside still waters. Get rid of your plans. You know your plans right now? The problem is not that your plans aren't coming to pass. The plans, the problem that we all have is that we have our own plans. Get rid of your plans. When God's word is dwelling in you richly, all of a sudden, crush, 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 crush. Starts crushing your own will. Things that I desired, things that I wanted to do, all of a sudden start getting crushed. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds bad. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let God put his plan into motion. Your plans aren't worth it. My plans aren't worth it. When we're yielded to the living word, it'll hold our flesh, our mind, and our motives accountable. Things you used to do that you used to think that were just fine to do, all of a sudden, when the word's dwelling in you richly, temptations are all of a sudden you realize, I don't do that anymore. I'm not gonna talk like that anymore. I'm not gonna use profanity anymore. You know, oh, I used to do this and that. I used to watch movies like this, or I used to do this or that. And all of a sudden, that word rises up within you and faces every temptation and addiction that was trying to hold you in this life. I'll tell you what, you don't need a 12-step program to get free from addiction. I'll tell you what, it's right here. It's right there. Get so full of the word that there's no room for addictions. Get so full of the word, there is no room for temper and anger. Get so full of the word, there's no room for marital fights. So, Pastor, you're just giving an unsustainable kind of, you know, possibility here. No, all things are possible with God. Folks, if you want me to preach away, if you want me to dumb it down, I'm sorry, I can't dumb down God. I won't dumb down God. God isn't just thinking, well, I just want their life good enough. That's not how God thinks. God's thinking bigger. He's thinking better. We're thinking, you know, I've heard a preacher say this. We're thinking of glasses of water. God's thinking of oceans. We're thinking of toothpicks. He's thinking of forests. So true. So true. You ever had thoughts go through your mind because the word of God is dwelling in you richly? You say, no, that's a wrong thought. I'm going to cast that down. Oh, I've got a desire to do this. That's a wrong desire. That word rises up when it's dwelling in you richly. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to find out what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word will rise up in the face of every temptation, addiction, or unhealthy lust for worldly things. Times the things that I get into that are, you know, I'm desire to go a certain way, and they might even be good, but God says, nope, I don't have that for you. He'll bless you another way. Amen. Praise the Lord. The living word in us will scrutinize our words. That word in you will teach you how to speak grace to those that hear you speak. Amen. You'll no longer see God's word as something to read. You'll see it as something to consume. I don't read God's word. I consume God's word. There's a difference. Some people aren't even reading the Bible. When you're filled with God's living word, you'll see yourself as the dwelling place of God. You'll see yourself as God's temple seat. God lives in you. That same power that was in the holiest of holies is what's in you and I right now. You're God's dwelling place. You're God's home. Everything you need and more is in you. Remember John 14, 1, when Jesus said, "There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I go to prepare a place for you." Now, of course, he was specifically referring to heaven in that place. But Jesus said, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms." Well, think of it this way. What is the Father's house right now? You. I know. See how reluctant Christians are to say that? Where is the Father's house right now? Right here. In us. So many times believers are so shy to say that. Folks, if God's house is in you right now, guess what else is in there? Many rooms. Think about the rooms that are inside your house. The rooms that are inside your house, they all have a specific purpose, right? Your living room has a purpose. That's where you relax. Your basement might be a purpose for storage, or maybe it's finished down there. You know, your garage has a purpose for your car. Your bathroom has a purpose for what we won't talk about, praise the Lord. You know, you sleep in your bedroom. There's a purpose to fulfill every need in the rooms of your house. You could say it this way. In you, there is a space for everything you need. Everything. There's a room in there for health and healing. There's a room in there for peace and joy. There's a room in there that is completely free from fear. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Living things grow. Praise the Lord. God is living on the inside of you. He is trying to make us stable. Folks, is the word of God prevailing in your life? Yes. It's supposed to be. It's prevailing over your thoughts. It's prevailing over your actions. It is prevailing over your five senses. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 19, 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It grew in the hearts of the people. It grew and prevailed over their reasoning, over what they saw, over what they thought. Amen. Well, I think that's a good place to unhook because there's more I've got here and I could just keep us going. But that's what we have next week for. Folks, God's word is a living thing. God's word better be more to all of us than a book. It is God himself. He's alive. He's powerful. He's active. If we just sit down and say, well, I just don't, you know, I don't read, you know, I'm not going to take time. And even if you are, if you're someone that just thinks that you're okay because you just read the Bible all the time, folks, again, it's not the mentality of reading that God's after. He's after the mentality of fellowship. Yes. Amen. Folks, when God's word is dwelling in you richly, you're not gonna be concerned what's going on in this world. You're not upset by what's going on with inflation. When you're walking in the fullness of God's word, yeah, you may see politicians doing evil things, and of course we don't agree with that, but you're not gonna be all consumed with the fight and the strife of the political realm. Oh my goodness, when God's word dwells richly in you, you're gonna walk in love and patience. You're gonna be good. You're gonna be a good spouse. You're gonna be a good parent. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. This is not an accusation against you. It's not an accusation against me. It's God calling us into a deeper, more powerful and active faith. If you want to take that next step into a deeper spirituality, this is the start. This is where it starts. Amen. That's my message. I'm sticking to it. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father, you are faithful. You are the living word. There's nothing that's been made that was made without the word. And Father, your word is the life. It is the spirit. It is the life for all of us. Lord Jesus, you said that your words are spirit and life. Lord, you said that when your word dwells richly in us, that we ask anything we will, and it will be done. Father, we thank you. You are so faithful and good. We thank you that the word grows in us, moves us towards a place of stability. Father, where we can cast our burden upon you, we are unmoved, we are not shaken. Lord, you are so good. We bless your holy name. We glorify you. Lord, with all eyes closed, with all heads bowed, Father, we just come before you and we ask ourselves this question. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Folks, ask yourself that question in your heart. Have you made Jesus your Lord? And if the answer to that question is no or I don't know, folks, then don't leave here today until you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, I just invite you right now to get sure. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to approach you or something like that. But if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord. I want heaven to be my home. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to know that my sins are washed and forgiven. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your heart and receive that eternal life. But if that's you, could you go ahead and lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you'd say, Pastor, I'm uncertain about my eternal future. I need to be saved. If that's you, could you lift your hand just real quickly right now? Is there anybody here within the sound of my voice? I don't see any hands. I'm not surprised. I know we have a room full of believers here today. But just in case, praise the Lord. Father, I don't see any hands. But Lord, if there's somebody within the sound of my voice that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, then Lord, I pray that there would be witnesses, there would be laborers upon their path. Lord, you are so faithful. You are so good. We bless you, Lord God. Father, we're going to serve you with all of our heart. Father, we want your word dwelling richly within us. Father, we want to walk in that powerful faith, that deep-rooted, that faith of stability in your strength. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Folks, did you get some help out of this here today? Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, get a hunger for God's word, right? The first step to knowing him is to having that living fellowship with his word. Let's all go ahead and give him praise today, and then we'll be dismissed. Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you. Father, we just command your hand of blessing upon each one that is here today. And Lord God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.